Good morning. Hey, you are probably wondering, Pastor Rich, why are you dressed like that in that tuxedo? I didn't just get married. Been married for a while. Hey, it has to do with the title of my message today. And the title of my message today is this. It's The Clothes Make the Man. And my question for you is this. Is that really true? Does the clothes really make the man? I know we all, or at least most of us, have probably have heard that phrase before. It's been around for a long time. And basically what it means is this. It means that the way we dress can influence how others perceive us, how they look at us, how they judge us. And we all know that there is some truth to that, isn't there? Studies have shown that people do make snap decisions, judgments about others based on their appearance. Some people say that the originator of that phrase, the clothes makes the man, came from Mark Twain, because Mark Twain used that phrase and he dressed in really nice tuxedos near the end of his career. But actually, that phrase came about even before that. It came about during the Middle Ages through the writings of a Catholic priest and theologian named Erasmus. But it was most made famous and tweaked a little bit by Shakespeare. Shakespeare wasn't going to be outdone, so Shakespeare had his version of it. And Shakespeare worded it this way when he wrote the tragedy of Hamlet. He said, instead of the clothes make the man, he says, the apparel oft proclaims the man. So he had his version of it. But we all know, like we said, clothes don't always tell the whole story, do they? And it's mainly, you know, anybody can get all cleaned up, even me. You can get all cleaned up, you can look nice in a suit, but really it's what on the inside that really counts, right? The Bible even says that in the book of Proverbs 31, speaking about the virtuous woman, speaking about the exterior, but it says the woman that feareth or loves the Lord is one to be praised. So a person's character, a person's personality, a person's love for the Lord, for Jesus, is more important than their outward appearance. However, that phrase, the clothes makes the man, is spiritually true for the Christian. Well, how, Pastor Rich? Because when we become a Christian, a believer in Jesus, we put off, the Bible says, the old way of living, the old clothes of sin, and we put on the new clothes of Christ's righteousness. Amen? But we can all testify that is much easier said than done. Even Paul in Romans chapter 7, Paul said, hey, I do the things that I'm not supposed to do, and I have trouble doing the things that I am supposed to do. That sounds like the daily struggle we all face, amen? So how do you become victorious? How do you stop doing the things that you're not supposed to do as a Christian and start doing the things that you're supposed to do, that you're called to do? Well, this time of year, I love the springtime. The weather is so beautiful outside. And this is the time of year that usually see a lot of people making stops at places like Home Depot or Lowe's, and they go into the garden center and they get stuff to try to spruce up their lawn. They try to make their lawns green, make their gardens look beautiful. And a large part of that is getting rid of the weeds. Because we all learn that it doesn't do much good to just simply break off the top of the weed, does it? Because in order for us to truly take care of that weed, we've got to get the root up. You either got to kill it or you got to dig it up, or it's going to come back again and again and again and again. You know, I was helping some of the folks and volunteers in our church a couple weeks ago just pulling weeds in some of our beds, and I had this one bed of dollar weeds, and I thought I did a pretty good job getting them all up. And I just looked at it this morning, and I'm like,
I guess I should have got more of the root up because it came back and it's expanded and it's a lot worse. But that's what happens when you don't get the root up. But even in our spiritual lives, if we want to stop doing the things that we know we really shouldn't do and start doing the things that we should do, we got to get the root out. And Paul tells us how here at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24. Look with me, if you can, this morning at verse number 20 in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 20. He says, but you did not learn about Christ in this manner. And what he's talking about, he's referring to the previous verses. He says, you didn't learn about Jesus through sin. But through sin, we all know, through sin, we don't get closer to Jesus, do we? Through sin, we get farther away from Jesus. And although this might seem obvious to us, sometimes it's not. Some Christians, I know, they have this mentality. They think this. They think, hey, I will perform these sins if it helps me to better relate to non-Christians who are also enslaved by those sins. For example, there are those that think that, hey, I think that I'm going to go ahead and get drunk every weekend, and I need to get drunk with those that aren't believers so I can better understand what they're going through, and then we can have some common ground, and I can better witness to them. Can I give you an example of why that's wrong? The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, right? So that was Jesus's, you know, motivation too, was to save sinners. But did you ever read in the Bible about Jesus getting drunk? No. Do you ever read about in the Bible about Jesus committing murder? No. Do you read about Jesus stealing? No. Do you read about Jesus breaking any of the Ten Commandments? No. No, the Bible tells us he was without sin, and yet do we think that Jesus didn't understand sin? No, of course he understood sin. Jesus understood sin better than anyone else. He knew so much about it. He knew so much about sin. He knew enough to stay away from it. The way to understand sin, hear me out. The way to understand sin is not by doing it, but by not doing it. Knowing what the Bible teaches about it. Let me give you another example. We all probably know or have heard about the Apostle Paul. He wrote at least 13 books in our New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote about a bunch of topics through divine intervention of the Lord. And Paul wrote about topics such as divorce. He wrote about how to handle disobedient children. But think about this. Paul was never married. Paul never had any kids. So the point is this. You don't always have to go through an experience to understand and be able to speak to other people about it. Why? Because if you have a good understanding of what God's truth, the Bible says, and a compassion and love for people, you can really understand and you can help them. Some people, some parents, they have the attitude of this, and they think, I'm just going to allow my kids to do whatever they want to do, and I'll let them learn from their own mistakes. Can I tell you what I think? I don't want my kids to go through what I went through. No way. Why, Pastor Rich? Because I love them too much. I would much rather them learn from my mistakes, not their mistakes. I would much rather them learn from God's word about what's right and what's wrong, rather than experience what's wrong. I don't want them to have the scars, the internal scars that I have and I carry. I have memories that I wish I could change of things that happened, that things that I did before I truly started to follow Christ. I don't want that for them. In verse number 20, that phrase, learned about Christ, the Greek word there that's used is manthano, where everywhere in Scripture, it means to learning truth that can be obeyed and applied to your life.
You see, listening, learning, and obeying is something you do after you become a Christian so you can have greater fellowship and intimacy with God and also with others. Paul says, you did not learn Christ in this manner. In other words, you don't learn Christ by sinning. Well, how do you learn Christ then? Well, logically, the opposite of sinning is obeying. Therefore, Ephesians 20 could be understood this way, that you learn Christ by obeying Christ, by obeying the Bible. And that's why Paul said in Ephesians 4:20, and he says it again in verse number 21, if you can look at it with me. He says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Paul is saying, hey, since or because you have heard Jesus and you've been taught by him. You see, in order for us to overcome our daily struggles, which we all have, none of us are exempt from that. Jesus says in the world, you'll have tribulation. We're all going to have trouble. So Jesus isn't telling us through the Apostle Paul here in this particular passage. He says in order for us to overcome our daily struggles, in order for us to get rid of the old clothes and put on the new clothes of righteousness, we have to learn Christ. And this has nothing to do based on who you are in Christ as a believer. You, at the moment that you accept what Jesus did for you on the cross, you have that new identity. You are in Christ. And that's, I'm not talking about our identity. I'm talking about our obedience. That's based on what you do. Well, how do we learn Christ, Pastor Rich? Well, praise the Lord, Paul tells us how. And he starts off by telling us that we learn Christ by feeding our minds with the Word of God. You learn Christ by giving your minds a biblical education. Ephesians 4:20 uses the term learn. Verse number 21 uses the terms heard and taught. And those three words contain the image of school. Whew. Aren't you glad school's almost out? You know, school's almost out, and I'm sure, you know, man, no more having to get the kids up and get them out of bed. No more having to pack those lunches. No more late night trips to Walmart because your kid forgot to do their science fair project. You know, no more tears. I'm not sure if it's the kids or the parents that cry during the school year, or maybe both. You know, no more of that. School's almost out. We have a senior in our house. He's graduating from high school, and he's ready to be done. I think they call that senioritis, right? You're ready to be done. You're ready for it to be over with because we're ready to get out of school. But when you become a Christian, you got to go to school in order to biblically educate your mind. You see, you learn when you hear. You learn when you look. You learn when you're taught. There's no such thing as a growing Christian who's not learning. So I want you to think, and I want you to ask yourself this question. The question is this: what did I learn this week from him? As you read your Bible, as you listen to some good godly music like we're singing here this morning, as you prayed, as you heard and were taught by Jesus, what did you learn this week from him? We sure learn something every week. Scripture tells us over and over and over again, when we read, when we study God's word, it's as if God himself is speaking to us. Even the Apostle Paul, while he's writing here, he's saying to these believers in the church of Ephesus, he's saying to them these words, and he's saying, hey, you've heard the word of God proclaimed to you as if you're hearing Jesus himself. Because we know the Bible is also called by this phrase. The Bible is called the Word of God, right? And we also know Jesus in John chapter 1. Jesus is also called the Word. He's called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you read, when you study the truth of God's word, in essence, you're hearing from God. You're hearing from Jesus. You're being taught by Christ. And that is what the last phrase here in chapter 4, verse 21 says as well. If you can look with me at the end of verse number 21, it says, as the truth is where? It's in Jesus. Paul writes, the truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Jesus himself said in John 14, 6, recorded for us, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You learn Christ how? By giving your minds a biblical education. But you also learn Christ, this passage says, by putting off the old, putting away the old. Look with me at verse number 22. Paul writes that you put off the former way of life in the old nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Praise the Lord, when we get saved, we're changed by the power of God. And since you've been taught the truth, you can be a confident Christian. You don't have to be that closet Christian that just hides and doesn't share with anybody about your faith. You don't have to be that cotton candy Christian that I preached about a few weeks ago. You don't have to be that camouflage Christian, and that's a whole other sermon that's coming, you know? You don't have to be all those things. You can be that confident Christian. Why? Because of what Jesus did in you when he saved you. And because of this truth about putting off or putting away the old, there's something to renounce. That phrase, put off or put away, means to literally strip away. It's the image of taking off dirty old clothes. Yesterday, praise the Lord, we had a group of people here that spent hours tearing down our Walk Through Bethlehem structure and getting everything cleaned up before we have to put it up again in a few months. But it doesn't matter if it was them or if it's you. You're working outside. You're sweating. Maybe you're painting. Maybe you're gardening. Maybe you're mowing. Maybe you're exercising. Maybe you're running. Maybe you're shopping. No, shopping's not a good example. Or even worse, imagine this. Imagine you have fallen into a manure pit and you come out of it, man. You're slimy. You're disgusting. You stink. Now, when you get home, what's the first thing that you do? You walk into the house, you open the fridge, you get a snack, and you sit on the couch? I see some heads going, yes, better not do that. No, you don't do that. You're filthy, you're dirty, you're covered in yuck. You don't walk in the house and go lie down in your bed, do you? No. What's the first thing that you do? That's a good. Leave the clothes in the garage. Don't even bring them in the house. That's good. That's good. Yeah, but what do? Man, you take off, you strip off those filthy clothes. So when you come into the house, you're putting off, you're renouncing the filth on your clothes and on your body. Those old, filthy, nasty clothes that you've taken off. You renounce it. Likewise, after you're saved, you are a new creation in Christ, the Bible says. You put off the former way of life. You see, that was the past, and the past is the past, and the past is going to stay in the past. That was my old nature, which the Bible just says is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. That part of me has stripped away and is going to remain away. I'm not going to let it define me anymore. It's a new day. I have a new identity. I am a new creature in Christ. And it doesn't mean I'm going to have less fun. Hey, Christians are not boring. We still have fun, but we have a different kind of fun, amen? But be careful. don't get enslaved in those old habits while you're in your new identity in Jesus Christ. Don't get enslaved in those old ways of living that the Lord delivered you from when he saved you. You must be decisive each day to renounce the old nature. Remind yourself each day that you are dead to sin, but you're alive in Christ through your union with him. A great verse that reminds us of that is this one on the screen. Romans 6:11 says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." Jesus paid for my sins on the cross. "But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The first thing to do when you're going to learn Christ, Paul says, is if you want to walk in his ways, is you've got to put away the old nature. And this means that although it has been crucified with Christ, although it has been defeated, although it's been done away with, you can still open yourself up to resurrect it from the dead. So once you've got rid of those old, filthy, nasty clothes that used to characterize your old life, which was corrupt according to deceitful lusts, are you done? No, you're not. You need to get dressed in the new clothes. Out with the old, in with the new. But before that, first there's something to renew. Look with me at verse 23. It says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." There's something to renew, and it's our mind, the Bible says. When we were without Jesus in our lives, the Bible says our inclination was towards having a mind that was given over to sin or selfishness. And our minds were empty or vain and did not consist of the things that were of value or meaning to God. Our minds needed to be renewed. We kind of needed to press the reset or the refresh button. We needed to see things differently than we did before. You learn Christ by renewing your mind. The fact is this: God literally changed our minds when he saved us. And now we have a different ability. We have the ability to live changed lives. But the Christian life starts in the mind. When the thinking is changed, your life is changed. And now we are to walk each day having our minds renewed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God that lives in us. You see, in the Bible, in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, the Apostle Paul gave us this. He said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life." But you've got to renew your mind. Hey, it's our thinking that either sets us on the right course or trajects us on a path that's going to take us on the wrong course. In the end, everything comes back to how you think about something. We must be decisive, and we must take control of our minds. Be careful what you allow your eyes to see. Be careful what you allow your children's eyes to see. It will affect the mind. Listen to what the Bible says about this matter in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It gives us some good instructions when those thoughts enter our mind that shouldn't be there. "Casting down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That thought enters into your mind that you know shouldn't be there. You're like, "Why am I thinking this? Why did I just have that thought? That thought was wrong. When that thought enters in your head, what do? The Bible says you take it, you capture that thought, and you cast it down to the obedience of Christ. But that's not enough. You replace it. and you replace it with thoughts that are like these thoughts from Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And as you immerse yourself into the Word of God, it will help you. As you read, as you study, as you memorize Scripture, as you meditate on that Scripture, as you pray, as you attend small group Bible studies, as you sit under the teaching of God's Word here on Sundays or Wednesday nights when we kick off the new service in May, as you do these things, the Bible will help to renew your mind, because the Bible is living, the Bible is active, the Bible will transform your mind, it will change your thought patterns, it'll give you a whole new perspective and outlook on life. We learn Christ by putting away the old, by renewing our mind, and then lastly, by putting on the new. Verse 24, Paul writes these words, and he says, and that you put on the new nature, and I love this part, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. After you get rid of those old, stinking, nasty, filthy clothes, you put on the new clothes. It's the next logical step, and all of us do it every day. You don't take off the dirty clothes and then take a shower and put the dirty clothes back on, do you? I hope not. Some people do this, I suppose. I was reading a story about this one kid who went to summer camp. He was at camp for a week, and while he was there, he only packed one pair of shorts and one shirt and wore them all week long. It wasn't because he was poor and couldn't afford it. That's just all he packed. So every day he would get dirty, filthy, play, sweat, playing basketball, did this, that, and the other thing during camp was filthy. And he would go into the shower, get his body all cleaned up, and then guess what he would do? Put those dirty clothes right back on. That's crazy. Who does that? But that's what some of us still do today spiritually. When we first become a Christian, man, we're gung-ho, we are excited, we are zealous about getting rid of those old bad habits. And we're yielded to Christ in us that allows us to do that. Some of those old ways of living, they're gone. We live a clean, fresh, new life for a while. But if we don't replace the old with something new, we soon find that some of those old habits and ways of living are right back where they used to be. I've seen it. And sometimes they get stronger than ever before. We put the dirty clothes back on. It hasn't changed our identity of who we are in Christ, but it changes our way of living that doesn't reflect Christ and who we are in Christ. But as a new creation in Christ, for you, there's something to reveal. That's something for you to reveal to others. Just as we are to strip off the old nature of sin, we're supposed to put on the new nature, which the Bible says again in verse 24, is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new holy nature was born in us when we were saved. That's why a lot of times when people get saved, they refer to John chapter 3 and they use the phrase, you have been born again. Again. And this new creation that we are born into again loves the Lord, loves the things of God, has a desire to serve the Lord, has a desire to give financially to the ministry of the Lord, has a desire to love one another, has a desire to share love with other people that don't know Jesus. Hey, so when you leave church today, don't be mad at the person that's ahead of you in the line for coffee if they're taking too long. Don't be mad at the waitress that you think is not doing the best job. You know, don't be mad at the driver that cuts you off. It's not the end of the world. You have a higher calling. You are a new creation in Christ. You are accepted of the Lord. You are valuable in His sight. You have been empowered and enabled to walk in the will of the Lord for the glory of God. But although God has empowered you, equipped you, and enabled you to overcome these daily struggles while we are still in the world, you have to do it. You have to yield to Christ in you. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit in you. Paul says in verse 24, I love this. He says, the new nature which was created according to God. What that means is this. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, way back in Genesis, where it's recorded, he marred the image of God forever. He marred the image of God in which he was created. And he passed his sin and passed his sin nature down to all of us. But when we got saved, we're no longer in our old nature according to Adam, but we're in our new nature, which this verse says was created according to who? God. I love it. I love it. We know that we're not perfect. And we're not going to be perfect until we get to heaven, right? But we know that although we're not perfect, we have been changed. Aren't you thankful? By a show of hands, how many of you said, since I've accepted Jesus Christ in my life, I know I'm not perfect, but I know I have changed. Amen. That's because when you take on your new nature, created according to God, it's one of righteousness and true holiness. So change is going to take place from the time in which we were in our filthy rags, living lives that were corrupt according to deceitful lusts. We've been given all that we need to live lives of righteousness and true holiness. And righteousness is defined this way. It's defined how we interact with other people, doing the right things. Holiness is defined as how we interact with God. Because God has said, be ye holy, for I am holy. We must actively yield ourselves to the Spirit of God within us and allow Him to work in us day by day by day. I love Galatians 2:20, where Paul said these words. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. My sins have been nailed to the cross. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But Paul says, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And he said, the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we are no longer to walk in the filthy rags of our sins, because we've been washed as white as snow. We must decisively put off the old nature of sin and put on our new nature, which is made in the likeness of God. As a believer, you have something to reveal to the world, and that is Christ in you. Christ in you. Hey, we're not even going to put the old clothes back on after they've been washed. Why? Because when Christ comes into our life, he gives us a whole new wardrobe, a whole new set of clothing, a whole new nature. So if you're here today and you've heard the word of God and you say, Pastor Rich, there is something in my life that doesn't characterize my new life, but it still characterizes my old way of living. Maybe you're here and you want to change something in your life. And the Bible says, essentially, free your mind from what it used to think. And this begins by going to school By giving your mind a biblical education. By learning the Word of God. By hearing Christ and being taught by Him is what Paul says here. And as you do this, you're getting rid of that old, filthy, manure-covered clothes that you used to wear, and you are putting on the heavenly clothes of righteousness. I should have wore a white suit today. This is all they had available. But when we put on those heavenly clothes of righteousness, as we do this, the clothes will make the man or the woman. Amen? Galatians 3, 26 and 27, we'll finish with this. It says, "For ye are all the children of God." How? By faith in Christ Jesus. "For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ." With their heads bowed and with their eyes closed during this time, boy, I sure do like the new me. And I'm sure you like the new you better than the old you. But I want to encourage you that this new nature that we have is all about being different from the world, about being discerning, and about being decisive. Be confident of who you are in Christ and live it out. Live it out in your everyday life. Reveal Christ in you. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, maybe you're like me, and I'm certainly not perfect. And maybe you have times in which you have thoughts that enter into your head and you're like, where did that come from? And you need help with your mind. I want to tell you today that help can be found, and the place to find help is in Jesus. If you're like me and sometimes you have a difficult time putting away or putting off the old nature and putting on the new nature, the place to find help is Jesus. If you're here today and it's dawned on you that you are lost, you are living a life without Jesus, and you are trapped in the darkness, deadness, and depravity of your sins, of a life that's void of God, I want to tell you the place you can find help is Jesus. Come and talk to me or go to our reception room in the back, and we would be glad to point you to Jesus. There's not a person in this room, I don't think, who does not need to talk to the Lord about what was contained in this passage of Scripture today, and I invite you to do that right now. Lord Jesus, we surrender to you. We surrender our minds, our thoughts, and our actions according to your acceptable and perfect will for our lives. Lord, we know we have an enemy, and our enemy always wants us to thwart off the perfect path that you have for our lives. But Lord, I pray that we would do the opposite and we would yield to your Spirit in us. And your Spirit would continue, as it always does, to keep us on that perfect path of righteousness and true holiness in which we are created in Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.